Madden, my speed is like 82, 83. So I was like, nah, I think you're going to catch me, and catch me. And the next thing you know, I pulled away, and I swerved to the right, and I was able to get the touchdown.
All right, a lot of fun stuff to talk about, including wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster from last night. It feels like it was just a few hours ago. Win in Detroit on Sunday Night Football, and that was actually Juju's first press conference, so he kind of walked into that room and was a little unsure what to do. So,
you know what, the thing about Juju, and I think that's why the NFL has embraced him, is there's an innocence about him that is that just is neat. You know, you look at the kid and he looks like he's just happy to, yeah, I'm just happy to be in the NFL. I'm playing football. I'm living my dream. You know, people say living the dream. I think it's always sarcastic, but I think he really is living his dream. The joy with which he plays and the effort that he gives, and the fact that this is all new ground to him. So when he comes up to the podium, I remember the first press conference that I gave was during the strike of '87, and we had a secret meeting at Froggy's, which was the first real sports bar in Pittsburgh upstairs. We thought it was a secret meeting. And Froggy comes up, he goes, what do you want me to tell the media downstairs? I go, there's media downstairs? And so there was like 20 members of the media downstairs. They're waiting for you, Tunch. So you don't really know what, you know, you don't know about an opening statement. You just kind of go, all right, what's up, you know? And I think that's what he just experienced after that game.
All right, I know in Chalk Talk you're going to break down his 97-yard touchdown. Right. But let's just talk about how critical that play was in both of your eyes.
Well, Bob, why don't you go first? Well, because I know you were a little worried when we were backed up there.
You know, you weren't 3rd and 9 at the 3-yard line. I mean, to me, that was why it was so important. I mean, you're looking at a situation where if this pass isn't completed, and you don't get a first down, Jordan Berry's probably, you know, lining up in his own end zone to punt and not the normal distance behind the snapper either, and concerned about that. And you know, the game to me was, it seemed that there were a lot of different times when it could have pivoted from, you know, being tenuously in the Steelers' control to, you know, in the Lions' control. And, you know, 3rd and 9 at the 3-yard line is one of those situations, you know, because the Steelers had just made a goal line stand. Okay, if you go 3 and out, you know, and you only gain a yard or two, you're putting their offense right back, and more importantly, your defense, you know, right back out onto the field. And, you know, how many times can you ask a defensive unit to hold the way the Steelers' defensive unit was holding through that point in the football game? But I'll tell you what, as big as that play was, that little shovel pass that set up take a knee, take a knee, take a knee at the end, that was pretty huge too. And, you know, Juju made the first catch of the game to set up a field goal. He made the last catch of the game to set up victory formation. And then, you know, that touchdown play provided the deciding points in the game.
Yeah.
That touchdown, you know, in a game that you win by 5, you know, quick math.
Yeah.
So, I mean, quite a performance by the 20-year-old, and, you know, for Martavis Bryant, not a very timely point to be inactive.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about, and I've heard this said about Juju, he doesn't play like a rookie. And the guy plays, when I drop that play, I'm going to show you how he split the safeties. He started running between the numbers and the hash, and then he brought it into the middle to split the safeties because they were in cover 2 over the top man coverage underneath. But you made a great point. You know, if you don't, if you get an incomplete there, you've got to snap. Normally you have 15 yards between center and punter.
Right.
Now you've only got 12 yards, and that's when...
So then you've got to bring the guys in, and you don't get the coverage down and all of that kind of stuff.
And if you want to, that is a good time to go for the block, because it is a short distance to the punter, and it's a lot easier to collapse the pocket. And to be honest with you, Labs, if you knew the design of that play, you would have been a lot more worried than you were at the time, because what the Steelers did was they ran 3 vertical routes. There was nothing underneath for to move the chains, or at least move it. And he went straight down the middle. You had AB on the outside, Justin Hunter on the far side. You went all vertical routes, and he took the middle, which was great because he split the
safety.
A lot
of times, though, in that situation, the defense is likely anticipating that you're just going to try and make the sticks.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, in a situation like that, sometimes the verticals, you're more apt to break a receiver free and clear out in the open like this, as opposed to, you know, trying to throw it underneath and there's all kind of coverage.
Well, you got one guy, Miles Killebrew, who's a box safety. There's no way that 35 is going to be a part of that play. You got Glover Quinn, who is got great speed, great athleticism, but he's looking at him backing up to the left. He's looking more over at Justin Hunter, and once again, we'll draw that out. And Quandre Diggs is playing underneath, and he just, I don't think he was really respecting Juju's speed, because Juju just blew right past him.
All right, I don't want you to give away too much because Chalk Talk should be good. That's going to be coming up in just a little bit. But as you can imagine, the buzz about Juju in the post-game locker room was certainly a buzz. So let's take a listen.
He's not playing like a rookie. He's playing like a seasoned veteran. It's fun to watch. Maybe he's just too young and too silly and too fun to know any better, but I tell you what, we love it, and we just hope we keep getting great play from him.
He's affectionate person. He's bringing a lot of momentum, a lot of great energy. Always fun to be around, no matter the day, no matter the time. He's one of those guys, you having a bad day or you having a down moment, you definitely want to be around him.
Man, it's just crazy because he's just out there having fun, man. You know, he's a 20-year-old, and he does everything he can. He works his butt off, and then when he makes the plays like that, you see it because he works hard in practice. He does what he can, and he's just having fun out there.
Went out there, played a great game. You know, the best player under 21 ever. And I mean that.
The other interesting thing that Ben said about Juju, guys, was that he wasn't celebrating in the locker room after the game. He was mad at himself for dropping that third down pass.
I was going to point that out before we, you know, a little too overboard because, again, he played great game, but you said he doesn't play like a rookie. Ben said he doesn't play like a rookie. Third down, guy hits you in the hands. I mean, you got to squeeze that one.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of the – I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
But, I mean, you know, that was a significant moment in the game, too.
Yes.
Now, other people, other teammates picked him up in different ways. But, you know, we would be remiss. Not that we're going to crucify him for that mistake, but – ignoring it, you know, I don't think does him or the team any service.
What I like about him, though, is he didn't let that get to him. He didn't get his dopper down. You know, he came back and made the play. A lot of young guys, when they blow a play like that, it remains with them. You know, one of the things you always say is don't look in the rearview mirror, reload, next play, and he did just that. And that's what was so impressive to me, that he made plays after he missed that one.
All right, after a win, it's always fun to talk about all the good stuff, but I have to bring up something bad again, the Steelers' red zone woes for the offense. Where do you see this going as they head into the bye time?
You know, Missy, I'm not worried about it. You had two drops in the red zone, and you know what? You've got to make those plays. So it's not something that is fundamentally wrong with that offense. They're just not making plays in the red zone. That one right there, you know, that's
the first possession of the game.
That's right.
You catch that, you score, and I really think it's a great release.
Yeah. It's a different game.
Yeah. And
emotionally. Too.
Yeah, but don't get mad, Labs. I mean,
they
still won. Yeah, you got to make that catch. But anyways, and so here's the other one
make that throw.
Yeah, and that is just, you know. That play I watched over and over and over again, and from the end zone, you could just see it's just beyond his fingertips. Like, right, you know, that's if he alters his route a little bit more lateral instead of vertical, he makes that catch. And then that right there, you know, one of the things that I love, this is not a subtle push-off. That's a double punch to the chest, knocks him down. You know, one of the things that I always said, you know, the one thing that you love about A.B. is his push-ups are very subtle with class. That one, more like an animal, and they picked it up, and funny when he threw Slay on the ground. And then he goes, oh, you mean that's on me? Like, oh.
I don't think he took a little dive.
Well, he might have, but he did. But look, when you initiate the push and you push off,
I understand.
You extend your arms. There's no way you're not going to get called that. Now, did he embellish it? He might have, or he might have just gotten caught off balance, which is not unusual either.
All right, we still have plenty more to talk about, including the Steelers defense. But up next on Steelers Live, Chalk Talk. Don't go anywhere.